something out of the ordinary happened this morning. And it's not that we've started these 5 weeks of the season of creation. It's not that our second lesson through this whole season will be excerpts not from Scripture. No. Today, we were presented with erotic love poetry in the Song of Songs. You might not have realized the salacious nature of the song from today's lesson. It's pretty tame, this part that we have, but the rest of it is not. Some of it is just downright explicit. Many people who have read it for the first time are just absolutely flabbergasted that this book could ever even have made it into the Bible. And perhaps that is why, out of the entire book, this little snippet we got today is all that the lectionary committee allows us to hear in the whole 3-year cycle. This book doesn't once mention God, but instead tells of two lovers. It's sensual and suggestive. It's shocking. And I must say, it's a breath of fresh air. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows. Looking through the lattice, my beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For great periods of Christian and Jewish history, the Song of Songs was only thought to be acceptable because it was taught as an allegory. They argued that despite all the appearances on the outside of the book that you would be reading, it really is about God and Israel, or God and the church, but definitely not about two lovers. But they missed the mark. It really is about two lovers. It's about their escapades. It has to be. Because it's about passion and longing and desire and love. It is about a human understanding of love. After all, that's the only kind of love we can possibly understand. And what we love, it changes everything. The Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism, an 18th century Jewish spiritual folk revival in Eastern Europe, used to tell a story about how God is concealed within the world. And the story goes like this. Once there was a king who was a master of illusion. He could make people see things that weren't really there. He could make people not see things that were really there. But more than anything, this king wanted his people to come and to be close to him. But the people were always too busy. The farmers needed to milk the cows, the sailors had to scrub the decks, and the shopkeepers had to sell their wares. But the king was clever, and he devised a plan. He built around himself a magnificent but entirely illusory castle. And then he sent out invitations to everyone in the kingdom. You are personally invited to come and be close to the king. But it will not be easy. The king is hidden in a great castle. What a challenge, his subjects said, and they hurried on to that castle. When they arrived, they found that the walls were high, the windows were barred, and the gates were bolted. Furthermore, in front of each entrance to the castle, the king had placed magnificent but again illusory treasures. One by one, the people arrived, and they settled for for the treasure instead of the king. It is like that for us too, the Baal Shem Tov would say. We start out eagerly looking for God, but get distracted easily and give up the search. Then one day, someone came along and thought, these treasures are beautiful, but they are not why I have come. What if the walls and the gates to this castle are only an illusion? She approached the wall, examined it closely, and saw that there was nothing really there. Nothing stood between herself and the king. Like this castle, everything in the world, the trees, the animals, the oceans, stars, even people, conceal the one who made it and reveals the one who can be found inside of it. Anything that separates us from God is an illusion. We are always intimately united to God wherever we are and whatever we do. In a parallel way, Rabbi Ellen Bernstein argues that the lover's language reveals their identification with the land, with the earth, and its creatures. It's not just that the lovers appreciate and value the land and its creatures. Rather, the song reads the land and its creatures onto the lovers' bodies. They are the land and are traveling imaginatively, either southward from head to toe or north from foot to head. As they do, they praise the flora, fauna, and the precious minerals of the land. The song tells us, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. We're not separate from God, and we are not separate from creation. The understanding of love in the Song of Songs so shows a divine love filled with passion and desire. It is an understanding of love that yields complete and utter unity. It's an understanding of love that blurs the lines between God and humanity and creation. And according to the priest and novelist Andrew Greeley, our love, yours and mine, is like God's love. The Song of Songs sacramentalizes it. Human love is a hint of divine love. And divine love is a hint of what human love can really be. We heard today Dostoevsky write, if you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in things. But the reverse is also true. If you perceive the divine mystery in all things, you will love everything. Look around, though, at our world. Do we dare to see God's presence out there? Would it change how we live? Would we be letting deforestation and climate change and pollution destroy our beloved? Now, about a decade ago, Gus Speth, former dean at Yale Law School, said, I used to think the top global environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. I thought that with 30 years of good science, we could address these problems. But I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with these, we need a spiritual and cultural transformation. And we scientists don't know how to do that. But do you know who does? We do. God does. Religion can lead the way here. And our lovers show exactly what that is. Love is the way. Love is the way toward change. Love is the only way that we can transform the world. And the Song of Songs shows us the passionate, desirous love that connects us inextricably to God and to everything around us. And despite all of our human selfishness and turning inward, this love is bigger. God is bigger. Look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. God is always and everywhere running and gathering people who have been separated, who need God, who need the love and connection that can only come from God. God is persistent. God is patient. God woos us. God has passionate love for us. But are we ready to look all around and say, I love you too?